You're listening to the Eyes on Isles podcast with Matt O'Leary and Mitch Anderson.
Hello and welcome to the Eyes on Isles podcast, episode number 31. I am Matt O'Leary. I am joined by Mitch Anderson. And the question to get it started, as always, Mitch, what edition is it?
The Billy Smith edition.
Thank God. Thank God we didn't have to go to Hockey Reference to look that one up. Mitch knew it off the top of his head. He was like, 31. 31. I don't know. Islanders legend Billy
Carey
Smith.
Price. Yeah, that's it. I mean, Billy Smith.
So I'm definitely glad that you knew that one off the top of your head. I think you would have got a lot of slack on Twitter if you didn't.
Oh, man, I never would have heard the end of it, ever.
No, I don't think you would ever live that one down, and rightfully so.
Shame on you. The lady from Game of Thrones just shows up at my house like, shame. What are you doing? Keep my clothes on. Jesus.
All right, so usually we have three games to talk about to kick off the show, but this week we have four because we had a Washington Capitals back-to-back, which was disgusting. The Islanders won one of the four. it's full-on tank mode. That's another topic we're going to eventually get to, but the question I'm trying to get to is, Mitch, what were your takeaways from the last four?
Nothing good?
No.
I know we – was it four or was it five? I feel like there was another win in there somehow. Was it just – didn't they – yeah, the Pittsburgh one.
That was last night. That was the first – that was the only one.
So, well, what about the Calgary win?
They lost to Calgary?
Did they lose?
Oh, no.
No, they won.
That was – I thought you said Carolina. Wrong seas. That was – before
right, that was before
our last episode.
I don't know why I was thinking the 7th for some reason. I don't know why I was thinking the 7th. Clearly it's the 14th. You're right. There's only the one win, and that's New York, the Pittsburgh Penguins, a 4-1 win. I don't know what the hell I was thinking. Either way, what do I take away from it? Obviously going into the game against Washington, the first one, on the 15th, the 15th mm-hmm. of March, when they played the Washington Capitals and lost 7-3, I was still in on, like, it's possible. There's a possibility that they can do this. And then when they S-H-I-T the bet on that one, it was done. There's no way. And obviously it was already tough and near next impossible at that point, but I was still holding on to math. Mathematically, they're still in it. Mathematically, they could still do this.
Oh, you're talking playoffs.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. No, I wasn't even, like, thinking that, like, for takeaway. I didn't know which route you were going. I didn't think you were... meant holding out hope for a playoff. I thought you meant holding out hopes for a win.
Well, yeah, win to get into the playoffs, obviously. I don't, at this point, like, I don't necessarily care about the wins. The wins are nice, but it's just kind of gravy on the train. I'd almost rather them lose, but like we'll get to later, it doesn't really change a whole lot if they do. It might make things even worse mentally, so why lose then?
I thought your biggest takeaway would be your boy got shelled.
No. Whatever, that happens. It wasn't just him. Look, Halak got shelled the very next night, so it clearly wasn't just Gibson.
He did, but I just thought it was funny that you put, like, right after you put out, like, oh, maybe, yeah, the next day after you said, like, oh, Gibson should get a look.
Boom.
Shelf.
What do you have, like, a 5.97 save percentage that night before he got pulled?
It was rough. He let in, five goals on 12 shots? I think he only stopped 7.
Oh, wow. Oh, yeah, that's really bad. That's so bad. But, again, Halak did the same thing the next night, right?
Yeah, to be fair, he did, yes.
And is it fair to blame it all on the goalie? Probably not, because we've seen these goalies, not just these two, but also Greiss, play during the season, and we haven't blamed them outright the entire time. They've been to blame for some of them, but not every night. It just can't be the goalies every night.
No, that's definitely fair. And he did bounce back and had a great performance last night against the Penguins, so I'll cut him some slack there. I definitely will. To me, my biggest takeaway is pretty simple. Defense still stinks.
Yeah, okay. So my biggest takeaway wasn't just what was actually just something's going on with this team is what I wrote here in my notes. So we got JT, who's now over a point per game. I think he's got, 73 and 72? Or is it 75 and 73 games. Something like that. I didn't
I didn't really tell.
I didn't really write down the stats. Lee's going to be a 40-goal scorer. He's only four away, if I'm not mistaken. Eberle's going to be a 30-goal scorer. Bailey's a point-per-game player. And Barzal's going to win the Calder Trophy and is a point-per-game player. How is it?
Both,
sorry.
I was going to say, both Tavares and Barzal have 75 points in 73
games. It's amazing. Amazing. We have two 75-point players, over a point per game, Bailey point per game, Eberle 30 goals, Lee 40 goals, and we still can't consistently win. We can't win at all, it seems.
No, you're consistently losing,
yes,
actually.
Exactly. The opposite of consistently winning. How, like, how is that possible? And it plays to what you're saying, is that defense still stinks. And I wanted to put something out there, a little hot, maybe not a hot take, but let me just go with it, and you can tell me what it is. Do we think that Nick Leddy is hurt? Do we think Nick Leddy's playing hurt? Obviously nothing serious or nothing game-preventing, but something that's enough to have him off form. Because there's no one out there that can say Nick Leddy's the same Nick Leddy was last year. Look, I say it all the time on a WhatsApp group because I keep getting bombarded about the plus minus. I hate his plus minus stat. I know it's high. It doesn't mean anything. Put it to bed, people. But there's no argument to say, or there's no counter argument to say that Nick Leddy has been good this year. You can't say that. Even as a Nick Leddy supporter, I can't say Nick Leddy's been good. He hasn't been,
at least defensively.
Well, even offensively, he's been all right up till November, but then from there, it just kind of fell off a cliff.
Yeah. Is he playing hurt? I mean, it's a good...
I think he is.
Guess. It would definitely explain why he isn't playing well. For me, I would go more so the people around him aren't playing well, so it's pulling him down.
Oh, I'm sure that's an absolute fact, but I'm adding to it the fact that he's probably hurt. So I'm willing to wager that he's going to have off-season surgery.
I almost hope it's an injury because then at least it would give us an explanation.
Yeah.
If that makes any sense.
Absolutely.
Like, obviously I would never root for a player to be injured, but at least it would give you an explanation for why the performance wasn't what it was expected to be.
Like Nick Leddy having off-season knee surgery. Like, oh, of course. Good thing they're doing that. Good thing they don't have the playoffs. Just get it sorted out. Done. Come back.
Yeah, like,
go in April like JT did last year. Go in April, get it done. You have all summer to recuperate and rehabilitate. Perfect.
Yeah, and then 4 months later, you're ready.
Yeah, him and Rasmus Dahlin, killing it.
Perfect. Him and Rasmus Dahlin.
Oh, yeah.
That went over my head for
almost
a second.
There.
I almost let that one swoop by. Okay. What a top pairing that would be.
Oh, man. Wow. How beautiful would that be? But it's not going to happen. I don't think it's going to happen.
No, I think that kind of leads us into... I think that might be a good segue into our next topic, actually.
Yep.
Is it too late for a tank?
Well, yeah, obviously. But like,
yeah,
when
it's
you
too
say
late for a tank.
A tank, what do you mean exactly?
A legitimate shot at a top pick.
Yeah. Well, okay, what's a top pick then? Top 10? Top 5? Top 3?
Nah, I would say top 3.
Oh, then probably. Like, they're going to have their chances, but like, okay, let's look at it right now. Where is this, the order? The Islanders have 72 points as it stands right now. To get like a pretty good chance at a top 3, they'd have to fall within the top 3 worst. But you got like Buffalo and Vancouver and Arizona at 58 to 59 points. That would mean that they'd have to jump, what is it, like 13 points? They would, the Vancouver Canucks, Buffalo Sabres, and Arizona Coyotes would have to win the rest of their games, and the New York Islanders would have to lose the rest of their games for them to stand a chance at equaling them in the points total. And that's not going to happen.
So you're telling me there's a chance?
Yes. There's literally a chance there's also an even bigger chance that it won't happen. So there's like a 1% chance that they could fall, not even, like a 0.01% chance that they can fall to within a top three seed from where they are now. But there's a 99.99% chance that they don't, if I got that right.
No. If we were betting men, which I think we are, they're probably, both their picks are probably falling somewhere between 8 and 13.
Okay, sure, fine. Because right now they're sitting at 9 and 12, right? So I think that that's a fair gauge. Like, they could catch Chicago and they could catch Edmonton easily. Chicago and Edmonton sit at 69 points, just 3 points back of the Islanders. Now, Chicago's lost four in a row, so, you know. But, like, that helps. Like, the Islanders are sitting at a top – so their chance of getting a top three sits at 14%. So, like, that's pretty good odds to get – that can't be right. How is that possible? That can't be right. No, let me refresh the screen because that can't be it. There we go. Okay, overall, 5.4% and a number one – anywhere in the top three, 17.1% chance. That makes more sense.
Okay. Yeah, you got me confused a little bit.
Yeah, I was looking at it, and I was going, that can't be right. And I had said top three, but I was still kind of not sure about the number. But, yeah, it makes sense. Their best bet is a 5.4% chance to get the first overall pick. But to get anywhere within the top three, it's at 17. That's pretty good.
Yeah, I'm going to say yes. But then it then who are you taking? Because you're not going to get the one. Let's say you get three. Then what? From there, you're probably not getting a defenseman.
Well, you could take. You can take anyone you want. You've got only two teams drafting ahead of you.
Yeah, but like in all the mocks, it's always Dahlin one, and then they have two forwards, and then like this is a deep defenseman draft. So picking at like eight might not be the worst thing in the world.
Yeah, you don't want to go crazy off board. And listen, if they fall to number three. What if you just trade down? Right?
You could.
So I'll give you my first. Give me your first at number eight or number seven, Chicago Blackhawks. And give me your second or something else. I don't know how to value it.
Or something, yeah. I don't know. Maybe we're reading too much into like all the mocks and stuff like that. But I think the point here is they are in a position where they have – a very minimal, like 0.03% chance of making the playoffs and a 5% chance of having a top three pick.
So 5% chance at the first overall, 17% chance at a top three.
Sorry. Still under 25% chance of having a top three pick.
Yeah.
Which isn't good.
No, sure, it's not. But for the record they have, that's pretty good. Like, look again. Philadelphia was in a... was what just below us last year in the lottery, and they hit second. And the Dallas Stars weren't far from where we are now last year, and they got the third overall pick.
Yeah, that's fair. I guess crazy things can happen. That's why it's a lottery. That's why they try and get teams avoiding the tank.
Yeah. How bad would that be if, again, the Vancouver Canucks, who are probably going to end up with the first overall pick... Sorry, as it said, are going to have the best odds at the first overall pick, just as they did last year, don't get it again. Sorry, no, Colorado had the best chance. They had the second best chance. But they again fall out of the picture. 2 years in a row, they don't win the lottery. How bad would that be for Jim Benning in Vancouver?
That'd be kind of funny.
It'd be hilarious, but yeah.
It would suck. If I was a Canucks fan, I would be upset about it.
Yeah.
I would.
So is it too late to tank? Yeah, of course. It's way too late to tank. It was too late to tank in December. When it was clear that the front runners for the tank were Buffalo, Arizona, and then a non-Brock Besser Vancouver.
Yeah, if we could have just realized that Brock Besser was going to get hurt due to Kyle Clutterbuck, if we could have like somehow foreseen that, and then I don't know what you could have possibly done to embrace the tank at that point and somehow the tank even more. I don't think it would be possible.
I don't think so. Which gets us to, like, maybe not gets us, but brings us to another point, is that this team shouldn't be in a tankable situation.
No.
You look at this team, and, like, usually when you launch the tank, like the Rangers, who, P.S., have more points than we do, they start selling off anyone with a heartbeat. We added players. We got younger and we added players. Younger because we traded off, you know, 89-year-old Jason Chimera. But I make fun of how old he is. He was only like 4 years older than I am. But we...
Bad self-awareness.
Yeah, that's right. But we still got younger and we got marginally better. So, like, that's not a tanking situation. And you look at our roster, like, there's... If we're tanking with this roster, how are we going to build a winning roster?
I don't know, because I was just looking up the stats from before that you had me pull up. You have 5 players over 50 points.
Unreal.
And you have Barzal and Tavares at over a point per game, and Bailey's pretty darn close. He has 67 points in 69 games.
Yeah, exactly. 2 more power plays and he's right there.
Yeah. Pretty much.
That just puts the forwards out there. We're not even talking about D anymore. And I know defensemen aren't going to put up the same points as forwards unless you have an Erik Karlsson or a Victor Hedman, which we clearly don't. But there's a reason we're not bringing up defensemen, because they haven't been good. Sure, 2 of them scored the other night against Pittsburgh, but they don't do that on a regular basis.
No. Although Pulak has been a very good point producer over his last, 25 games?
I guess. Hopefully that can keep going, and that's a sign of things to come. But when you look at his overall, 27 points in how many games?
59.
That in and of itself isn't a great return. It's pretty good, but it's not great. What is it? So 27 divided by 59? I'm going to do some math. 27 divided by 59 times 82 over a season, that's 38 points.
That's pretty good.
That's all right for a rookie, sure, but you would hope that that's, again, things to come. You're like, okay, good, now let's move forward and do more.
The article I wrote the other day where it was like he's sneaky on a hot streak that no one's really talking about, the pace was over a full season. The one he's currently on is 48
points. That would be amazing. That would be fantastic.
Right, that's what I think his ceiling is.
I don't know, man. Do you think that's his ceiling, or do you think that's where he's... I wouldn't say it's a ceiling yet. I don't think so.
You think he could be over 50 points?
At the rate I'm seeing, he's not looking too out of place defensively. I know at the start of the season he was pinching what he wasn't supposed to, and he's giving away bad turnovers. Holy crap, look at that. He learned how to not give away a bunch of turnovers. Oh my God, I guess you don't have to go to the AHL to learn that stuff. And now he's scoring points. He seems more settled. He seems more calm. He seems to know what he's doing out there. He's more comfortable. So next year, I expect that to be there from day one. And so it doesn't have that 20-game adjustment period that he had this year. I know he was injured as well, but he still had that adjustment period. And you take that away and you come into the season knowing you have a roster spot, knowing you're more comfortable. Man, the sky's the limits.
Okay, so what would you put the over-under number at for next year?
48.5.
I'm taking the under.
Okay, I'm going to take the over on that.
Wow, okay.
I would
love him to hit the over. I like Ryan Pulak. I'm a big fan of his game. I really am. But I don't think he's hitting 49 points next year.
Okay, I just took it. I wrote it down. I don't know if I'm going to remember it this time next year, but it's written down. Maybe one of our followers will remind us come next year and be like,
yeah,
hey, losers, who was right and who was wrong? And then
I hope
Hoser
I'm wrong.
In the chair over here will be correct.
Oh, boy. Yeah, so moral of the story, guy, is too late to tank.
Yeah, for sure.
Which brings us to another point we can hit on for another short topic. Prospects they could realistically grab in this year's draft.
Right. Okay.
I did something today. I had 5 realistic options. I don't know if you had anybody in particular you wanted to talk about.
I wrote down 6 names that I think are within both their pick range and the one that they have from Calgary. Wow. I've had a hard time with words. I'll tell you the one that I'm more interested in, the two that I'm more interested in, and let me know if I didn't read your article yet, so let me know if they made your list.
Okay, go ahead.
I am more interested in Noah Dobson, who's...
Have him on the list.
So he's a 6'3 defender out of Acadie Bathurst, and he's got, what, 69 points in 67 games played. Amazing.
Yes.
Keep in mind that's the QMJHL, the Quebec Major Junior League, and they score a ton of goals. So, like, when you adjust for the goals in that league, that it's still good, but it'd be, like, I don't know, 55 points in 55 or, like, 54 games or maybe 56 games in the OHL. Anyways, I'm getting lost here. And then my next one is Joe Valeno, the 6-foot, 180-pound center out of, where was it again? It was St. John's. So that's, again, in the QMJHL. Too. I think he's got like 48 points in 33 games. Insane.
Yeah, I really like him a lot. He was my favorite forward that I had on my list.
Okay. Who was your favorite D then? Because we know it's a D-heavy list.
My favorite is Ty Smith.
Okay, why with the small guys? We have so many small... So he's 5'11", what, 160?
No, he's 5'10", 174.
Oh, I'm looking at Joel Farabee. Sorry. Joel Farabee is my size. 5'11", 150. I'm a little bit taller, but the weight is there.
I think he's really intriguing. He has 73 points in 69 games, and he's extremely fast and a two-way player.
Where is he playing? Spokane. What?
Spokane Chiefs, WHL.
Wow, okay. That's a good league. That Matthew Barzal league right there.
Yeah, and he is second in the league in points for defensemen.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Man, okay, that's pretty good. And he's what, he's 5'11", so he's small. I'm kind of tired of the small guys.
Okay, well, can I tell you what my theory was? I said it in this after I listed the guys.
Okay.
I would take Ty Smith, and I would also take, who was the other one? Either Noah Dobson or my other one who you didn't list, Bode Wild.
Just for the name, right?
Just for the name.
Okay, why?
It's an electric name.
Why Bode Wild? I don't even see. Okay, there he is. 6'2", 185, committed to Harvard. That's probably going to have to change out of the U18.
I read University of Michigan.
Okay, maybe. It says here Harvard. But either way, we know that the Islanders don't like them playing in the NCAA.
Right. So then I would take the small guy and then either one of those two.
Okay. I just don't want to end up with another draft where he, like, what was it, in 2012, I think it was, where he took, he being Garceau, just all defensemen.
Yeah, but Griffin Reinhart was one of them. Like,
yeah, I know, but
I don't think Ty Smith is going to be Griffin
Reinhart. Well, we have no idea. Life is like a box of chocolates. The draft is like a box of chocolates. You never actually know what you're going to get.
No, but you could like prospects and dislike. Like, I disliked Michael Dalcol as a prospect.
Well, we know that clearly now.
Yeah, but that was like, at the time, I didn't like him as a prospect either.
Okay, so, all right. So you don't like these other guys. I'm fine with getting Noah Dobson. I think that's a good pick. 6'3", 180, and he's putting up points in a shifty, speedy, point-producing league. That's amazing to me. That he's over a point per game, and he's a big, big moving body. The QMJHL isn't known for their big, booming defenseman, Victor Hedman-type guys, and he's one of them. I say if the Islanders can get him at 9, which I have him here on Tankathon, you do that any day, every day.
I had one more. The other guy on my list was a center, Barrett Hayton. From the OHL.
Just the names, Barrett Hayton. He be Hayton. I know nothing about him.
I read a scouting report that said he's going back to the OHL next year, but he could be ready for the NHL the following year.
Yeah. Well, he's only 17, right? He's almost going to be 18, but...
His player comparison was Patrice Bergeron.
I don't even listen to those. I hate that. I hate that so much. He's the next Wayne Gretzky. No, no one is. There's
no, but come on. The Wayne Gretzky's a little bit of a stretch.
No, but you know what I'm trying to say, right? Like, you're trying to compare it to something that has happened already. He's just He is that type of player. Coaches don't be like, I want the next Wayne Gretzky. GMs don't say, I want the next Wayne Gretzky. No, I'm building a team that needs to do X, Y, Z, and I need skills that can do it this way. And so that's who I'm picking. I just hate the comparables to players because it just overhypes way too much.
Okay, so I gave you my theory. If the Islanders keep both picks, mm-hmm. I would draft two defensemen. Do you split to take one defenseman, one forward?
Yeah, I definitely take a defenseman and a center. The Islanders don't have any centers coming up after Barzal and Beauvillier. And even then, they're playing Beauvillier out on the wing.
Okay.
So, and I'm not saying you draft that because you have a need, but like you're going to need centers at some point. Where are you going to get them? Why not get them at the draft? And then maybe a winger as well. Like I've nothing against wingers, but I'm particularly keen on this Rasmus Kupari guy of Karpat. 5'11", okay. 165. He's putting up points. It's 14 points in 39 games, but he's playing with adults. He's playing with men. That's a huge body of work for a guy who's just 17 years old. Sorry, 18 years old.
Yeah, and that's the thing, too. Like, we're grading these guys who are 17, 18 years old. Like, a lot can change in the next couple of years.
I would definitely stay away from anyone who's in the KHL right now. So, like, number 17 here on my list is Grigory Denisenko. And I would stay the heck away from him. Because you have no idea. You don't know.
No, it's not worth taking a high pick on.
No.
You know, I'd rather go the safe route. I like OHL, WHL. I'm okay with
any of those. Exactly. Stick to what you know. Sorry, Russia, but you're just probably not going to come over.
Sad.
Thanks.
Oh, God. Yeah, so that's a little prospect talk in March. This is the state we're at. That's true. To talk future prospects. And not even like, debating who they should take with the top overall pick. It's no. Who do you think falls to 8 or 12?
So we can't get anything. So what I want to know is the people listening, tweet us out who you think they should go for. Who's the prospect you think they need to take? So just hashtag Isles Draft and I'll look it up and I'll be able to find it. I want to know who you think the Islanders should take in the first round. And this is not assuming, again, that they win in the first day. They win one of the first three picks. Just sitting at where they are now, where their picks are situated as of today, who do they take?
You might have swayed me off my taking two defensemen's take.
I have nothing against it. Why not? Like, if you can have more defensemen that are NHL ready, you have a commoditized asset that is demanded by 30 other teams in the league. Like, yes, everyone needs centers, everyone needs wingers, but everyone wants mobile puck-moving defensemen, and they are rare. Maybe in the years to come they get less rare, but they are rare now. So if you have a stockpile of them, perfect. You've got something no one else has.
And you're crapping on Ty Smith, shaking my head. Oh, my God. Okay. Want to move on to a long topic? I think this got you heated earlier in the week.
Oh, man, it did. Well, okay, yes and no, but go ahead.
All right, so somebody put out the idea of a sign and trade with John Tavares.
I'm going to say it was Pierre LeBrun who put it out first for The Athletic. I know he wrote about it. I'm just not sure if he came to the conclusion first. I'm pretty sure it was, though.
I believe you are correct, but I didn't want to quote.
Again, I know he wrote about it. I'm just not sure if he was the very first one. I'm 99.9% sure he was, though.
Right. So I hate this idea with everything in my body. I can't stand it. Mitch, if I get a notification where it's like Garth Snow, or not Garth Snow, but we scratch that. Start over. Revamp. New York Islanders and John Tavares agree to an 8-year extension. And then 5 minutes later, Islanders agree to trade John Tavares to insert team here. Right. I don't know what's going to happen after that. I don't know.
Just like sorrow, misery, playing Simon and Garfunkel on repeat for the next 2 weeks, like cold showers.
Who's the kid on Charlie Brown who carries around the blanket? Yeah, that'd be me. I'd just be walking around just carrying around my baby blanket all day.
Oh, sucking your thumb upset. Like a little baby.
Yeah, with like the sad piano music playing in the background.
Oh. I tried to suck my thumb the other day to like mimic my kid. I don't get it. it just, it feels so weird. Oh, gross. Don't try it.
Does it taste good?
No, it doesn't taste good. Why would it taste good?
I don't know. Why do kids put it in their mouth?
Because they're
then?
Kids. They don't know anything. They put everything in their mouth. Have you seen my kids? Everything goes in their mouth the second they have it. Hey, look, it's a pen in my mouth. Hey, look, a wall charger that's still plugged in my mouth.
You must have such a fun time.
Oh, it's just, oh, oh my God, you're running. It's just, you're literally putting out, maybe not literally, but sometimes, putting out fires everywhere around the house. And the more you have, the more fires you have at the same time. So people with 2, 3, 4 or more kids know exactly what I'm talking about. Not to say that if you just have one, you don't have any fires. It's just, it's more manageable.
Yeah, and your boy on Ryan Pine has like 15 kids. I don't know how he does it.
Saints. They are saints. They have 4 children. I had 2. Done. I had the procedure done. Ain't no more kids coming in. It's over.
Wrap it up. Turn out the lights.
Wrap it up, B. That's what happened. Like, within months, honestly, my daughter was born in July, and I had it done in August.
You knew, you're like, yep, we're done.
We're done here. We're done here. We have 2. She came out. She's perfectly healthy. Done. We are done here. I love kids. I love my kids. I just don't want more kids.
I think that's a fair take.
I can't afford them. I was talking about this with my friend. We can't afford our kids or more kids. Not financially. We can't afford it by like the amount of headspace and patience it takes. So, yeah. Anyways, less on kids, more on hockey.
Yeah, that was a real derail for a second. I think we were talking about John Tavares, and then Linus carrying on the blanket and sucking into. Wow, that went really off track fast. Yep. If you stuck with us through that, thanks for sticking through, and we'll get back to John Tavares now. It's a really bad idea.
So the reason I got heated by this wasn't because of the idea. The idea makes sense in and of itself. It is awful for the Islanders, and why I got mad about it is just thinking if it actually happened. If this actually took place where John Tavares left in a sign and trade, it would be the worst thing possible for this organization.
Oh, it'd be an embarrassment.
So it's huge embarrassment. And we're used to embarrassments. John Spano was a thing. That's embarrassing, where you have a guy who doesn't have any money, who's in charge of the team for, was it months? Had no money. So it's not just an Islanders thing. It's more of a league thing. But anyways, this would be strictly on the Islanders.
I think this is worse.
I wouldn't say it's worse, but it's bad. It's up there bad. But so for this to happen, right, at this point, John Tavares is still under contract. Other teams cannot speak to him. But from what Pierre LeBrun was saying is that his agent, should he have the signal from Gar Snow, he can go and speak to other teams on the behest of Tavares. I think it would have to be a specific team, or I forget the exact inner workings of how this works, but the point is that John Tavares would have to signal off saying, yes, I want to leave, in no uncertain terms.
Okay.
Which, that is embarrassment number one. John Tavares wants out so bad, he's not willing to wait to the 1 week courting period time, where he's allowed to speak to other teams freely, based on the collective agreement. He wants to do it now and as quickly as humanly possible. That's terrible, right?
That's the thing that doesn't make sense to me, though. Like, why would it be a sign and trade? Why wouldn't he just wait and sign somebody somewhere else?
Because if you just sign and go somewhere else, then we're not getting anything for him. In this, we can get something back. It's not going to be much. It's not going to be a lot. But it's something. Maybe another first-round pick. For the chance to sign, it'd be like a, like when you're giving out the rights to a restricted free agent or a free agent, you're saying, I'm giving you the rights to this free agent. He doesn't have to sign with you. I'm just letting you sign him. Although for us, it would be, you have to sign with this team. So the price goes up.
Right.
So that's why maybe a first round pick is involved. And I hate going down the road of what we could return, because the idea here isn't to return more. It's to keep what we already have. And so the only way this works is if he wants out. And that is, what does that say about the rest of the team? Or what does that say to the rest of the team? Like Matthew Barzal. Hey, John Tavares wanted to get the F out of town as quickly as humanly possible. You got to stick here for at least another 2 years. Not even, till you're 27. Good luck.
That's 8 years away.
That's a long time. He's got a long time to sit this out. And he's doing well, so he's probably like, all right, whatever. I don't necessarily need Tavares. He's like, well, probably not. But Tavares needed something else to get this to go where it's going now, which is lottery picks.
This is terrible. See, as the podcast is going on, I'm just getting more and more depressed with the state of the team.
So let me uplift you a little bit. Just a bit, because the idea here is that I don't like the idea of losing Tavares, because to win anything in this league, you need as many superstars as possible. It's not like the NBA where if you have three, you're guaranteed to at least make the finals, it seems. But if you have two, at least two, you're in a good shape. You're in a good shape. You're in good shape. So I went over and I looked at the last 10 Stanley Cup winning teams. So not just the 10 last Stanley Cup winners, but the 10 teams who won Stanley Cups last. And I tried to find their superstars, if you want to go that way. They're okay. Superstar players. And they had at least two. So the Penguins, they've got three cups, two back-to-back. Crosby, Malkin, superstars, easily.
Yep.
Kings, Kopitar, Doughty, superstars, easily. Mm-hmm. And if you don't like Kopitar, then John Quick, because he's got a Conn Smythe trophy already. So there's two, potentially a third, maybe. That's like kind of like gray area. The Blackhawks, they've got three. Taze, Kane, and even Duncan Keith. Mm-hmm. So, agreed. Like, that's three, but you know, I'm still just sticking with two. Boston, Chera, Bergeron. The Ducks, when they won back in, what was it, 01, I think it was?
07.
Right. Sorry, I'm thinking the other one. They didn't win in 01. It was
Devils.
I'm really bad with my Stanley Cup winners. Like, we have a segment on this other podcast that I do called Stanley Stumpers. I'm glad that I read off the clues all the time, because it would be embarrassing.
Oh, God.
The Ducks had Niedermeyer and Pronger and even Solani on their team. That's three Hall of Fame players. Not only superstars of their time, but Hall of Fame players. The Hurricanes had Eric Staal and Rob Brind'Amour, superstars of their time. The Red Wings, when they won the Cup in the last 10 years, or not the last 10 years, but the last like 10 winners, Lindstrom. Hall of Fame player, like one of the best defensemen to ever play the game. One of the top three defensemen to ever play the game. And Pavel Datsyuk. And if you really want to count, Henrik Zetterberg. The Lightning had St. Louis and Le Cavalier. The Devils had Niedermeyer again, and Joe Nieuwendijk, and Martin Brodeur. The Avalanche, Sakic, Forsberg, Roy. Like, you need at least two. At least. So we need Tavares, and we need Matthew Barzal. We lose Tavares, well, we're back to where we were for the last 10 years, since 2009.
And previous.
Exactly. Well, even worse. No, I wouldn't say previous, because before John Tavares, what did we have in terms of superstar talent? Palfy? Sure. That didn't last very long. And before Palfy, was what? Yashin? Oof, I wouldn't necessarily call him a superstar.
Yashin was after Palfy.
Right. Sorry, I'm getting my timelines mixed up.
Yeah. Yeah, Yashin and Pekka and Parrish is not really superstars.
No. Good players, great players, not superstars. We have one right now in John Tavares. We have an emerging superstar in Matthew Barzal. We need to keep them. We can't lose one.
Yeah, and potentially add a superstar defenseman.
Hopefully. How amazing would that be? And then you don't need superstar goaltending. You need NHL average at the very least. But we can get NHL average goaltending somewhere.
Soderstrom looks like he's coming over. You saw the Instagram post.
He's in. Just play him.
I was gonna save it for the social segment, but you gave me that cue. I jumped
Let's
right in
go
there.
Go to it then. So I don't know. What is your last thoughts on the sign and trade? Obviously, it's embarrassing and it's terrible and it should never happen.
God, I think it would be one of the worst things to happen to this franchise. Like, that's not even an exaggeration. I think it would definitely set him back at least another 5 years. It would pretty much just, that would be the end of the Garth Snow era. As much as I want the guy out of here, like, that would be him leaving and the biggest FU out the door that he could possibly give.
What does that tell you about the owners then? Like, what is your feeling towards the owners if they essentially let that happen?
It's not good. If it completely 180, because when they first came in, more so, it was all about bringing the Islanders back to get that fifth cup and the rebuild, trust the process in a sense. And they seemed like they were really for the fans, but that I think fans would turn on them quick.
How many times does John Ledecky have to ride the LIRR and give old ladies tickets for him to win back any sort of face if John Tavares walks?
I don't think they would let him on the Long Island Railroad. Yeah.
The PR team's like, no, John. The conductor would be like, no, John, you don't want to do that. Rabid Isles fans, like, beating at the door, let him in! Let him in!
Yeah, I could just picture the train sitting at Jamaica. He's standing there, and the doors won't open because they don't want the fans to have the altercation. It was like the preseason game I went to at the Coliseum. He's like, you know, he's out there outside the doors, shaking hands, kissing babies, the whole nine. That would never happen again.
No, no. He's going to need at least 10 years to cool down before he can show his face on the LIRR again.
Yeah, he's got to disappear for a few years.
Easily. Get a new name, you know, a different haircut, different glasses.
He's going to come in with the glasses and mustache combo for all the games.
I'm Lon Jadecki, his other rich brother. How are you all doing? That's my best John Ledecky impersonation. I don't know how he talks. I think it's more nasally.
He's definitely a nasally talker.
Anyways, social.
Okay, so the Instagram post. Linus Soderstrom basically says goodbye to his team in Sweden, right?
Yep.
So he's coming to North America. That's like a given, right?
Well, I think it was a given anyways, but this is just all but confirms that it's happening maybe a little bit sooner than earlier than later.
So you think he's in the AHL next year? You think he's in the NHL?
I think he's in the he definitely starts in the AHL. I think depends on his camp, right? If he has a lights out camp, then there's no reason not to let him try at least a couple games at the start of the season. But I think the goal is to at least have him play in the AHL to get acclimatized to the North American game.
I definitely think that's fair. So you put Gibson ahead of him for now, right?
Yeah, not in so much as like a skill thing, but just as a timing thing.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's fair.
I'll go with what I said last week. So Gibson, we have that proof of concept, at least at the NHL level right now, whereas we don't have that with Soderstrom. What we have with Soderstrom now is just a hope and a prayer. And he's coming over. But listen, the game is different, North American versus Europe. The ice surface is different. He's got to have to figure out his angles again. It's not going to take him incredibly long to do that, but he's going to have to do it. And if we want to win games, you don't want to have to do that and figure it out at the NHL level.
No, so I think it's definitely fair. But if he comes over, does that change your plan for this offseason for goalie?
I wouldn't imagine so, because, I think that the Islanders knew he was coming. They I guess, told him he was coming. Or wanted him to come, and he said yes. I think this was always in the cards. This isn't news to them. They're probably very well aware that he's coming over now. I don't think there's any surprises here. So I don't think this changes anything for them.
So do you think they start next year with Greiss and Gibson?
I think so. Unless there's a goalie that comes out on the market that is just, you have to go grab him. I don't know who that might be. Okay. But if someone comes out, it's like Montreal says, we're willing to get rid of Carey Price and eat 25% of his salary. You run. You try. Why not?
Do you, though? Do you want Carey Price at a, what would that be, 7.5 million a year?
Something like that. But it's Carey Price. If you're getting Hart Trophy winning Carey Price, yeah, you do that.
I don't know. I think he's washed now.
I'm not saying that he's... I'm worried about injuries. I think he's a good goalie, and I think he could get back to close to what he was. But can he get back to peak Carey Price? I have my doubts. And for 8 years, 8.5?
Yeah. Scary. I think I'm leaning towards you. I think I agree. You start him in the AHL. You see how he plays for a couple months. If he's performing well in the AHL, I think you give him a call-up.
Oh, yeah, easily, for sure. And then we're stuck with our three-headed monsters. Although it depends, because Gibson's an RFA, or sorry, UFA at the end of the season.
UFA.
So what do you give him? I'd say a year deal.
Yeah, maybe you try. And then if you call up, decide you're calling up Soderstrom, maybe you're trading Gibson then.
Maybe you're trading Gibson. Maybe you're trading Grice, or you're waving Grice. Grice, waving Rice. Jeez.
Yeah, it depends. It all depends on how Grice plays, because he had an awful year this year. But if he's having a bounce back year and is at least competent, and Gibson is also competent, but Soderstrom looks to be ready, maybe you try and trade Grice.
Maybe, yeah. Team that needs him. Why not? He's locked up for another 2 years, 3.3. It's not a terrible cap hit. You've got some flexibility. Why not? I like it.
Interesting thoughts. Interesting thoughts. There's a lot of social stuff this week.
It's true.
Another big one, fan favorite, former Islander, Matt Martin, gets engaged to Sydney Esiason.
Congratulations all around to the two of them. That should be some interesting nuptials, I'm sure.
Interesting nuptials. What's that?
Their wedding should be interesting. They're interesting characters. But she's like, I can't wait to marry the shit out of you. You don't necessarily say that to, like, all the time. When it's usually like, oh, I can't wait to marry my best friend, or my best friend and I are getting married. It's going to be the greatest celebration of love ever. You don't say what Sydney says on Twitter if you're not an interesting person.
I think they're a good match.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, I don't know. I just like. They were relationship goals. They, you know what I mean? Like, when they were here, she really grew into that Islanders fan role, I thought. And definitely both easy people to root for. So, obviously wishing them the best.
Did Matt Martin have to wait till after he wasn't an Islander to propose to her? Because Boomer is such a Rangers fan. So did you hear the story of when he met Boomer for the first time? Not met, maybe he met Boomer before, but when he met Boomer as dating Sydney Esiason?
Yeah, he was wearing a Rangers jersey. How did you hear about that story?
It was on a podcast. She was on, I think it was Puck Soup. Yeah, it was on Puck Soup like a year or so ago. And she said
okay. Because I heard that story on WFAN, which is a sports talk station here. So I was like, how the heck is Mitch listening to New York sports radio? Like, what's going on?
Dialed into WFAN every day.
All right, respect. But yes, congratulations to them. We've been waiting for this for a while. I feel like I'm this fan. So
yeah, I think so.
Congrats. Congratulations to them. And then we are doing our own March Madness. So Mitch has been really doing a lot with this, so I wanted to give him props for it. He's putting the brackets together and putting the polls up on Twitter. So what are we currently sitting with?
We are sitting with four teams left. So we're in the final four teams. I'm thinking of March Madness instead of the bracket. So our March Madness Islanders bracket is all about what is the biggest storyline this year, and we're asking fans to vote on it. And so far, we've gotten thousands of votes. We're left with four storylines. And it's the top two seeds. So we had two sides. We had eight storylines on each side. And the seed one and twos are the only ones left. And so on side A, it's Tavares' extension up against going back to Nassau. And at the time of recording, with 8 hours left on the vote, Tavares extension is winning by 82-12. So that's going to take it.
It's a blow. Tavares is the one seed,
that's correct. And side B, we're left with the Belmont Arena announcement and Barzal's season. And Barzal's season is winning 67-33 right now.
Okay, and Barzal's the two, so you might get a slight upset.
I had
there.
A sneaky surprise that Barzal's season would actually win the entire thing.
Okay, really?
It's too amazing of a season. Not only is he winning the Calder, but he's winning it handedly, and he's taking over the league, and it's amazing. And he's ours for at least till he's in that 8 years.
Are you taking a shot at my seeding then?
No.
It sounds like you're taking a shot. That should have been the one scene.
Yeah, Matt, your seating was garbage. Way to go. Terrible. God. Oh, reevaluate your life structure.
I should. I really should.
I jumped off the deep end real quick right there. No, your seating was perfect. I think it matched exactly what we thought the storylines should be. But listen, we're only two people. We're asking thousands of people to vote on this. And we're seeing what they think.
Yeah, I'm rooting for Barzal because that's a positive one. The Tavares one can be spun in a negative light. So I almost hope that the Barzal story takes the cake.
I think it will. I'm pretty sure it will. But we'll see. Okay. It's still not necessarily winning, and there's 17 hours left in that vote for some reason. I don't know why that one has so much more time to go. I think I forgot to lower that one. Well, whatever. There's more time to vote for it. So go and vote on our Twitter account.
At Eyes on Isles FS on
Twitter. Or just search Isles, hashtag Isles, hashtag March Madness, and it'll be the first thing to come up, because honestly, who's tweeting about the Islanders and March Madness together? Except for us.
This is true. We're unique. That's right. I had one more for the social, but I feel like I've been dominating this segment. So do you have anything you wanted to add?
I've got nothing else.
Okay, so my last one was the billboards were brought back up.
Oh, yes.
And Arthur Staple kind of suggested that like 10 people could make a bunch of different accounts to donate money. It was weird how he phrased it. But what did you think of the, like, why do you think he hates it so much?
I don't know. He walked it back real quick. I honestly, my first thoughts, and I still believe them, is that's an asinine comment to make. That was ridiculous by Arthur Staple. I don't understand where he was going with it. He was like talking himself back into corner, just like spewing ridiculous nonsense that didn't make any sense. It's just a bunch of people. You don't actually know where they're coming from. It's a waste of money. It's stupid. It's not actually going to do anything, and you're stupid to believe if it does anything. He never said stupid, but the implication was there that you're not really rationally thinking this out if you think this is going to change anything.
Well, I think that's baloney, because how many major media outlets covered it?
Well, no. Listen, does anyone think that it either invested or put up the billboards? And I kind of want to divert to Ovipod, because this is their baby. Not necessarily just them, but they have a big hand in putting these billboards up. So I don't want to put words in their mouths. But I get the sense that anyone who either invested in this or created it didn't actually think that Gar Snow was going to be fired the second they went up. I'm pretty sure no one thought that. And listen, no. We here in Ottawa spoke to the guy who put them up. So this all came about because there are billboards going up in Ottawa here saying hashtag Melnick out, where they want the owner gone. It's a little bit different. Not the GM, it's the owner. They want the owner out. And so this all came about going, oh, people are wasting their money. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. But it's not. It's not wasting your money. Oh, you could have put that towards charity. Well, they could have, but if they wanted to, they would have done that anyways, and they clearly didn't want to. So, like, that's a stupid comment to make.
No, it's something that fans are passionate about and have absolutely every right to share their opinion on it. And I think it's a strong statement. It didn't go unnoticed, I think, was the point that I was trying to
make. Agreed. It didn't. Like, and that was the whole point of the thing, is that we want to be noticed. We want to be heard, and we're going to use the power of whatever power that is, to ensure that that is done. And they did it. They had their voice heard. They said, we don't want Snow here anymore. In Ottawa, they said, we don't want Melnick around. Done. Is Melnick going to sell the team? No, of course not. Of course he's not going to sell the team. Oh, we'll play it. People shouldn't go to the games. Well, guess what? They're not. People aren't going to the games here in Ottawa. The upper bowl, they've like cordoned off most of the upper bowl under tarps. There are tarps up because thousands of people aren't already coming to games. In for the Islanders in Brooklyn last night, they had 10,000 people to the game.
Well, that's the thing. Arthur Staple's saying, like, oh, just don't buy tickets then. They're already last in the league in attendance. What else do you want us to do?
Like, come on here. So again, I'm interested to hear how Ovipod reacts on their podcast. I'm sure they're going to have some snarky things to say, but I'm not. I don't think that they're wrong. I think they're going to be entitled to say whatever they say, because I don't think they're wrong here. I can't see an argument where someone says this is a bad idea. It's not. Is it going to affect change?
No, not at all.
But what will? What will force a GM to quit? Oh, they don't like me. Well, I better quit. Nothing. Nothing's going to get him to quit.
No.
Come on.
Gotta love the internet.
I love it every day. I'm I keep seeing people bemoan the fact that Twitter is free. Like, oh my God, this site is such terrible because it's free and there's all kinds of hate on there. But it also gives us immediate access to information that we didn't have before. So, like, I'm in love with Twitter. It's amazing.
Oh, I love it too. Well, it's more of a love-hate relationship, but it's more love. Like, how the website is still free is such a blessing, yeah, honestly.
It's amazing.
So that's all I had for the social. Mitch, did you have anything else you wanted to go over quick?
No, I've got nothing.
All right, so we're going to put a bow on episode number 31. So I just wanted to say to follow us on social media at Eyes on Isles FS for Twitter. My personal Twitter is at Matt O'Leary NY. Mitch's is at TLO Mitch. Toss us a like on our Facebook page as well, facebook.com/Eyes on Isles. And as always, go visit that website, eyesonisles.com, for all your New York Islanders needs. Mitch, another episode in the books. It was a fun one tonight.
Oh, I don't have a 32. Oh, my God. I'm going to have to do research. Oh, I don't have a 32. Okay.
Okay. So think about it for this week, and when we talk next time,
I will. Oh, my God. All right. Have a good week, everyone. Oh, my God. I got to do some homework.
He's definitely stumped. So we'll talk to you next week.